Good morning, church. It's good to be back with you again. We returned from Red River, New Mexico on Wednesday evening, I think it was. And we appreciate the time that we had to spend there and to learn at the feet of some very good teachers. Last Sunday morning, we were sitting in our lawn chairs under a huge tent, white tent, and we were with over 1,800 people worshiping God. And it was quite an experience, and we certainly enjoyed that time. Many of you may have heard of Jim McGuigan. Jim McGuigan has written a number of books. He's a member of the Lord's body, and he's 81 years old, very diminutive, I would say, and also he is very frail. But when he got up to preach, the man was full of energy, extremely animated, and you could tell that he truly loved the Lord. It was great to hear him. It was great to hear the president of Freed Hardeman University speak, and some other great speakers as well. We were grateful for that opportunity. Thank Alan and Ron for preaching last Sunday. I appreciate the talents that we have in this congregation and that they're willing to share those talents with us. I'm going to read a quote from William Arthur Ward. And I think most, if not all of us, will agree with what he said. He said, "I believe in America. I believe it became great because of its faith in God, its hope for independence, and its love for freedom. I'm grateful for America's glorious past. I am awed by its unbelievable present. I am confident of its limitless future. I am not ashamed to take my hat off and to stand at attention when Old Glory passes by. I do not apologize for the lump in my throat when I repeat the Pledge of Allegiance. I am not embarrassed by the tears in my eyes when I hear the Star-Spangled Banner. Like millions of Americans, I want a free choice, not a free handout. I prefer an opportunity to prove my abilities on the job rather than a license to demonstrate my frustrations in the street. I'm an old-fashioned American with a newfound determination to do my part to make democracy work." Certainly, I think those words are very applicable in our day and time when we see so many people who are angry, who are endangering the lives of other people over politics. And I hope and pray that that can change. It reminds me somewhat of the 60s, when there were so many rebellions that were going on, primarily of the Vietnam War and racial rebellions. And I hope and pray that we're not going to go through that kind of tragedy in our society again. I hope that there can be civility among all people in talking to one another and discussing the things that need to be discussed. Many of you probably know this, but the cornerstone for our Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was laid in 1793. But the crowning touch for that building was not put in place until 1863, some 70 years later. The Freedom Lady, as you can see at the very top there, hopefully you can see it, is a statue that stands 20 feet tall above the dome of the Capitol building. Her face is framed by a crest of stars. A shield of stars and stripes is in her left hand. The lady was sculptured in Rome and was brought to America aboard a sailing ship. And during that trip across the Atlantic Ocean, a fierce storm developed. The captain of the ship ordered cargo to be thrown overboard in order to lighten their load. The sailors wanted to throw the statue overboard, but the captain adamantly refused. He said, "No, never will flounder before we throw freedom away." Paul wrote about freedom in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 11 through verse 23. "Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Philadelphia, July the 4th, 1776, 242 years ago, 56 men adopted an historic document which was destined to change the course of the world. The Declaration of Independence declared our freedom from England, but it was also a declaration of dependence on God. Our forefathers never intended to eliminate God from our government or from education. The intent was to eliminate government from controlling religion, as the government of England had done with the Church of England. The insistence that our Constitution intends that every individual have the freedom to do whatever he or she wants to do without regard to morality or legality is calamitous and malevolent. Our judicial system is overrun with cases from the sublime to the ridiculous in an attempt to determine where one person's freedom begins and where another person's freedom ends. In 1648, John Milton wrote these words, "None can love freedom heartily but good men, but the rest love not freedom but license." And undoubtedly in 1648, that's how he spelled license. Edmund Burke put it this way, "It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." And one person said that Patrick Henry's unselfish statement, "Give me liberty or give me death," has been replaced by a more modern and self-deprecating one, "Just gimme." The very people who are the most demanding about their personal rights are the same people who are most enslaved. With every freedom, there is also an incumbent responsibility. In Romans, the 6th chapter, the Holy Spirit guided Paul to state this godly principle in the best manner. Every person is enslaved to someone, or every person is enslaved to something. You are either enslaved to God or you are enslaved to Satan. You are either enslaved to righteousness or you are enslaved to ungodliness. There is no such thing as absolute freedom. William Penn once said, "Law without liberty is tyranny. And liberty without law is license. And liberty under the law is freedom." But Jesus said it best. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Notice he says, we need to continue in the word of God. That's where truth is, and that's where true freedom is. And that's the only place that we'll find it. The lies of Satan and the lies of mankind will never set you free. Truth is the only thing that can set you free. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the very embodiment of truth. It was Jesus who said, "I am the way and the life and the truth." John 14, verse 6. Jesus can set us free from the shackles of sin and provide us with eternal assurance so that we can be freed from sin, pain, and death for all eternity. In your elusive search for individual freedom, don't forfeit your opportunity to have genuine spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ. I have known people to say that once we are initially set free from our sins by Jesus Christ, then we are free to do whatever we please. And certainly Paul addressed that in the book of Romans. Some people who believe this philosophy say or refer to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." But Christ set us free from our sins in order for us to serve him as he directed. And it was in that very same letter that Paul stated, even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. You are free to believe in the truths which he has imparted to you or not to believe. You are free to confess him before men and to be baptized in order for your sins to be forgiven, or you are free not to. You are free to worship him in the spirit and manner in which he has designed, or you are free not to. You are free to live righteously and godly in this present world, or you are free not to. Those are the choices that we have to make. Those are the choices that God has given to us today and every day and every first day of the week. You know, most of us remember the chase and the murder trial of O.J. Simpson. For what it matters, I personally believe he was guilty of two murders, and yet he was declared innocent by a jury. The one thing that impressed me throughout that whole ordeal is what he said to a court officer during his arraignment. During a break, the officer told O.J. that he would have to return to a holding cell temporarily. And O.J. said, "I will do anything to stay out of that cell. There is nothing more precious than freedom." And I believe that we don't really appreciate our freedom until it is taken away. You can enjoy a false freedom apart from Christ now, or a true freedom with Christ now and for all eternity. On that great and terrible day of judgment, there will be many people saying, "I will do anything to stay out of that hell." But without the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, their freedom will be lost for all eternity. In the words of the song, "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us teach to make men free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah." Certainly we will be enjoying our July the 4th holiday, a declaration of freedom. And I hope and pray that each one of you are enjoying the freedom that God provides for you in Jesus Christ. If not, you have an opportunity to do that very thing today. If there is some way that we can help you, whether you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or whether you need the prayers of the church to strengthen you and to help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.